This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, draft day. Kondori and Murad make the show possible. They sponsor us. They will set up a living trust for you, a last will and testament. They'll put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today. KMLawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's KMLawyers.com. We will be talking to Jay Gruden, former head coach here in D.C. at 6 o'clock. Who's he like? Who doesn't he like in the first round of this draft? And what does he think Washington should do at 29? Our guy Dane Brugler of The Athletic, one of our favorite draft experts, takes us deep into his rankings and mocks the top five for us coming up at 5 o'clock, 2 hours from right now. But Ben Standing of The Athletic is with us, covers the Commanders, and is super plugged in this time of year with what's going on around the league. Ben, let's start with the need for an edge. And if that need is greater than basically being able to just find help elsewhere, like do you think they need to reach and stick at that position at 29? Or would you rather them get help at corner or somewhere else rather than reaching a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the draft as a whole that they need to figure out ways to get more help at edge. It doesn't necessarily have to be at 29. The good thing is this is considered to be a very deep group. You mentioned my colleague, Dane Brugler. If you look at his top 100 list, he has 17 edge rushers in his top 100, and when I want to say 24 through four rounds, whereas compared to cornerback, I think it's 11 and 17 offensive tackles, like between 25 and 75, I think he has two. So some positions just dry up quicker. So that would be one reason to say you don't have to do it at 29. You can wait and maximize value. But I do think it's a position they've got to get younger. They've got to get more athletic, you know, not to mention, obviously, you know, help the pass rush, the run defense, et cetera.
Is there a spot, I've been asking everybody this, Ben, that covers the draft, and you do both. I mean, obviously, your mock drafts, you score a really high percentage every year, it seems like, and you know the team so well. Is there a position where outside looking in, schlubs like me are going, they need help there? I said that last year a bunch of times. They didn't do anything, and those groups outperformed. Is there a group that they think they're okay at that we don't?
You know, I'm sure a lot of it comes down to say things like what they think is going to happen with the guys they drafted last year. You know, Johnny Newton, Ben Sinnott, you know, guys like that, Luke McCaffrey, that we, you know, still a work in progress from our perspective. So we might look at it and say, hey, you know, you could maybe get a young tight end or, you know, hey, you use another receiver. But maybe they may think, hey, these guys are going to be ready to go more than that. But I would just say in general, take out the obvious quarterback, I think every position's up for grabs. I mean, I would rank some higher than others. And, you know, maybe if you take tight end, that would be like a fourth tight end. I don't know if you need to do all that for this year. But honestly, other than that, I think anything's in play. I mean, I really, you know, they just got Laremy Tunsil. I would not be upset if they took right, went tackle in the first round to just continue to build up that line around Jaden Daniels. You know, for a right tackle, obviously. So, you know, and you can kind of go down the list. So I don't think, I mean, you know, again, they may have their own thoughts and so on, but like in general, I think everything's up for grabs.
Ben, I totally agree with you, but I also think if that's true, then so is what I'm about to say, which is to have that many holes or areas where you could stand to upgrade, you're not that great of a team in terms of personnel. So one of two things then must be true if I keep going down this path, which is either to say that there's a real regression possibly coming this year after the NFC Championship game, or Jaden Daniels is just that amazing that you don't need that great of a roster and you're going to win a lot of games every single year. Where do you fall on that?
I think both of those things are true. I mean, look, this is, as we know, I think you guys remember who was in charge before Peters and Quinn showed up. I mean, they've got nothing out of those drafts for the most part. And the reason why they keep signing guys to one-year contracts is in part because they don't have – they didn't inherit much in the way of depth. I mean, what was it, like less than 20 players from the 2023 squad were on the squad last year. By the end of the season, that number diminished even more. I mean, it's what made last year so crazy. And I kept asking the question late in the season, like, are they good? Like, because, like, obviously Jaden, yes, and they played well. But, like, you could, you know, we could poke holes – all over the place last year. And, you know, this year, certainly the Tunsil trade is a big upgrade at left tackle. And obviously they hope that Deebo Samuel can do the same at receiver. But everything else, you know, what else did they do that you're like, wow, that definitely got them a lot better? So I think they're still continuing to build up the roster. We're just viewing it oddly because they went to the NFC Championship game. If they had finished what we had expected them to be, you know, 6-7 wins, I think they'd be, you know, we'd look at the roster a little bit differently. So, yeah, I do think there's a chance for regression, but at the same time, you know, who thought last year was going to happen? So at this point, I'm not going to question anything, and that, you know, in terms of what, you know, the possibilities of upside for them.
Ben standing with us here on Grant and Danny. So what could they do tonight that would surprise you? I mean, obviously within reason, they're not taking a quarterback at 29 or something like that. But what's something that you could, you know, that you don't, that none of us are anticipating, I guess, is the way to phrase it.
Well, I would be stunned if they traded up. I mean, they only have the 5 picks, and they also, not just this year, they only have 5 picks next year. So they're already in a hole there. And, you know, this doesn't feel like, I mean, look, if there's a player, you know, who they, on their board is, you know, ranked third best in the whole draft, and somehow he's sitting there at 23, and you're like, whoa, we got to get this guy. But, like, assuming that's, you know, not really the case, that to me would be the biggest one. Beyond that, I mean, like I said, honestly, I don't think anything would surprise me. And I'm not saying that like flippantly. I mean, this is kind of where I've been now for weeks. You know, once I really sort of dug into this group, this draft class, I think anything's in play. Obviously, again, you know, you would think edge rusher, cornerback, offensive playmaker, those would be the main priorities. So if they didn't somehow come away with any of those, you know, say through two rounds, that would be a bit of a surprise. But beyond that, really not much would surprise me tonight. The individual player, perhaps, but not like a position.
Ben, I'll circle back for analysis after, but just give me names. So realistically, if they took an edge at 29, your best guess at who it would be who?
Yeah, I mean, best guesses would be you could look at Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College, you know, real bendy pass rusher, you know, 17 sacks last year, a bunch of tackles for loss. The team captain checks that box, you know, really, you know, considered to be a really hard worker. I think he's a guy, if he's there, would make a ton of sense. Nick Scorton from Texas A&M is sort of the opposite of Ezeraku to a degree, also a team captain and seems like a pretty good locker room guy, but he's not the same athlete, but he's got just relentless. He just relentlessly pursues quarterbacks, ball carriers. You know, he led the Big Ten in sacks at Purdue at 2023 before he transferred to Texas A&M. So I think those are two guys I would look at. You know, could Shamar Stewart, who dominated the combine, but doesn't have a ton of production in college, could he be there? Maybe. But I think those two guys, in terms of the edge rusher types, would probably be the ones I would look at.
You're pretty resolute in reading you on this idea of the team captain thing and really feeling like that's significant. And I get that almost all their picks last year were, but it was year one of laying the foundation. I'm also a little bit leery of a one-year sample on that. And then Peters, and actions are believable over words, obviously, but he essentially said, like, you don't have to be a team captain in his press conference as much as a good guy. I mean, do you still go pretty hard in the paint with that you think they're hunting that?
Yeah, well, I mean, one, it's not a one-year deal because this was his deal in San Francisco. This was something I wrote about last year pre-draft, like something to keep an eye on, and then sure enough, it played out. And, you know, like, there was a couple of players where I looked and I was like, to see were they team captains, and I couldn't tell that they were, but they were listed as, like, well, you know, some version of, like, a good guy award, or so they won some team leader thing. So, yeah, I mean, the wearing the C does not necessarily – if you don't have that, it doesn't mean you can't be considered to be a positive presence on the team. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be captain per se, but obviously that was a big priority last year. And, you know, I asked Peters about this the other day. Like, now that you've built up the culture a bit, is that still, like, something you have to do? And he, you know, he said, no, you know, we just want to get certain types of guys, whatever. Even in my various, like, mock draft, like, I did one version where I did six different ways just to show different outcomes, and some of them I was very dogmatic with captains. Others I was like, all right, I mean, you know, maybe two or three, but I'm not going to like live and die on this version. So, you know, I think it's up in the air to a degree, but clearly that was a fascination or something that was important for him, not just here but also with the 49ers.
So at what point do you think they could expand that search a little bit? I guess what I mean is it may still be early in culture building. I know 1 year doesn't necessarily define it because at some point Bobby Wagner won't be here anymore. At some point, some of these other vets that were short-term guys will move on to greener pastures. When can they start, in your mind, opening up to, and I don't mean to pick on the kid, just offer an example, a James Pierce, for example, that's now kind of falling on boards because of some off-field potential issues. When could they open it up to a talent pool like that and maybe take more of a risk?
Right. Well, I think they've already done that on the veteran side, right? I mean, you know, not disparaging anybody, but like Lattimore and Tunsil, you know, you wouldn't view them necessarily as like team leader types. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even Deebo Samuel, right? He had some, you know, clashes with people on the 49er side of things. But, you know, those veterans are typically probably some shorter term situations. And obviously the talent already exists, right? You know, that they're really good players when healthy, you know, that type of deal. Whereas with the incoming guys, you know, this is where I think they really are trying to build the long-term culture. These are the guys that are really going to be the spine of the team going forward. So I think for that, it probably stays still. But look, obviously everybody does their homework. You know, if they think that, you know, James Pierce, you know, his concerns are a little bit nebulous. It's sort of in the vein of how much does he really burn to play football and, you know, maybe some other things, you know, but they've got to do their homework on this. And if they say, hey, not that big of a deal, hey, he's a heck of a pass rusher. And based on talent, probably be a top 15 pick. Based on concerns, he may slip out of the first round. So, you know, I think in general, I would still stay the plan because it is only year two of this. But, you know, again, I think on the veteran side, they've already loosened up based on what they brought in last year. You know, they didn't bring in, you know, last offseason guys who were even remotely questionable. And I'm not saying the guys, the Lattimores and Tunsils and Samuels are, but just they're not necessarily team captain types.
Ben Standing of The Athletic on Grant and Danny. Going back to last year's class for a reason here, Luke McCaffrey at wide receiver. Ben Sinnott at tight end are two guys that jump out. There are others I could name. But what do we know about their confidence in those guys elevating and really becoming key contributors? Because I feel like the answer to that is significant going into their plan here. If they already know or think, and I'm not saying this is the case, I happen to really like Sinnott, but let's just say hypothetically they didn't see it and they go, well, maybe he's more Batesy than he is Ertzy. Like, this is not going to be an impact receiver in this league. Then they actually probably do need a weapon as a pass catcher that they could invest in over the years. McCaffrey, similarly, is a guy I want to get reps and opportunities and targets for, and you don't necessarily want to stunt his development. But if they don't see it, or after last year don't feel the same way as they did after a year in their building, then wide receiver is probably a much bigger need. So what do we know about how they feel about McCaffrey and about Sinnott, neither of whom they were confident enough in to ask a lot of in the playoffs last year?
Well, I would say that, you know, in the case of Sinnott, he's a tougher evaluation for me. He was an odd prospect coming in because he's more like a H-back to a degree than like your traditional tight end, and how they were going to use him was going to be interesting. And then he didn't play a ton. Like, Ertz is the pass catcher, Bates is the blocker, And I don't necessarily know that Sinnott replaces either one of them if they hadn't, you know, both those guys are free agents. So I don't quite know what to make of him yet. But that's, you know, they obviously had a plan for him, and I can't imagine that anything that he did or didn't do last year has, you know, shaken any confidence in that. To some degree, same thing with McCaffrey. I mean, he was a player who only played wide receiver 2 years in college because he was a quarterback previously. You know, I agree that to an extent for 2025 purposes, if they were to draft, say, an Emeka Ibuka in the first round or take a receiver in the second round, that could suggest something about McCaffrey. On the other hand, if you look ahead to 2026, at the moment, McCaffrey's the only receiver who would be on the books. I mean, I assume Terry McLaurin's going to get an extension, but right now McCaffrey's the only guy. So they need to draft, arguably, some receivers just to, you know, continue to have, you know, viable options at that position. So, in other words, I wouldn't say drafting a receiver high is automatically a ding on McCaffrey, but at the same time, you know, if they think, hey, we're not worried at all, we saw the growth, he's ready to go, then that should, you know, for them make receiver a lesser priority or maybe something you don't think about until, like, you know, late day three.
Hey, Ben, there was a run there where two times in short order you won the award for the closest mock draft prediction. What was that? Remind me of that.
The Huddle Report has a contest every year. I've actually won three times. Thanks for short.
My apologies. Three-time Academy Award winner, Ben Standing.
Yeah. The ladies like hearing about that award.
I'm sure that comes very up excited. On the first date, right? Right when you shake their hand. Do you have that on your Tinder profile?
I just walk around. I have a T-shirt on when I show up and just says, you know, who's your mock draft champion?
Swipe right if you like good mock drafts.
Right.
Love it.
Exactly.
Our mock draft king. So then there's pressure tonight on you, right? I mean, then a lot of people are trying to see what you're turning in.
The way I look at it, you know, I've already been approved by the powers that be. What, you know, my record can't be besmirched at this point. But that said, I mean, I actually haven't. I've been like sort of okay the last few years. Ironically, the more I do this job, the less the worse my mock draft seem to be. I think people assume like I'm getting told the picks. I couldn't even spell source, let alone had one the first two times I won. And now because I have to do it for my job, you know, just to get a feel for what people are thinking, like I get more people talking in my ear and it makes it actually worse. So it's not great on that front. But yeah, obviously I spend way too much time thinking about this. Hopefully I have a good showing tonight. But, you know, I'm going to give myself a little bit of a pass this year because it is so insane. I mean, just looking at some of the other mocks that are out there from some of the national folks, and it is crazy some of the changes that have happened just in the last 24 hours or so.
Ben, always great, man. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
He'll be busy. Ben Standing of The Athletic. Go read his work there. We're Grant and Danny. It is draft day. We're going to be at MGM National Harbor at Tap Sports Bar tonight. Watching the first round, you can come hang with us. The Commanders are on the clock at pick 29. What's something they could do that we would love? What's something they could do that we would like? And what's a pick they could make that we would absolutely hate? We'll get into that next on The Fan. The Caps are up 2-0 on the Canadiens. We'll cover last night's win as part of our Beltway Blitz coming up in a half hour. Game 3 set for tomorrow. Series shifting to Montreal. That is a tough building to go play in north of the border. Caps got to take one of the two. And
just give me one.
Get back here 3-1 in a really good spot to finish this thing off over the games ahead. More on the Caps coming up in just a few. It is day one of the NFL draft. We're about 5 hours away from the first pick being announced. Without further ado, let's get into pick 29 and what we would love, like, and hate from the Washington Commanders, an annual exercise on draft day. So, Danny, you do the honors first. I want to know, Now, this has to be realistic, right? Of course, we'd love Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. But this is, of the options that are presumably going to be taken around pick 29, what is something that could actually happen that you would love?
This is an obscure thing. Obscure is the wrong word. I don't know how likely this is. I'm hopeful that enough things go Washington's way that this does happen. You want me to throw the little sounder to reveal who I would love in this draft, GP? You want me to do it that way? Let's do it that way. Darius, play who I would love.
Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas.
Quinn in the gun. Ready to take the snap. Has the snap. Fourth and 13. Ewers looking. Fires. He's got Golden open. He caught it. Touchdown, Texas. Matthew Golden strikes again. 28 yards on fourth down and 13.
A speed burner, Matthew Golden will provide an immediate deep threat in the NFL. Running a 4-3 40-yard dash, his straight-line agility leaves defenders flat-footed. His explosiveness was showcased late in the year as he tallied 162 yards against Georgia in the SEC championship game and went for 149 yards and a touchdown in the college football quarterfinal against Arizona State. His combination of big play ability and reliable hands gives him possibly the highest upside at his position in the draft.
Did you hear the keywords in there? Big play ability and speed. Help Jaden Daniels? I would love it if they went Matthew Golden.
I get it. It's speed. It's a weapon. You're just not going to get me to disagree with anything that adds weaponry to Jaden Daniels' arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see it happening because, A, I don't know that he'll be there, and, B, I think if he is, they wouldn't take him. But if they did take him, I'm coming into the studio tomorrow like Vince McMahon, happy about having another piece to add to McLaurin and Debo in that wide receiver.
I will eat an entire Pupatella pizza on Friday if they take him.
Yeah, we will be at Pupatella Pizza in Chantilly tomorrow, so come on out and celebrate the first-round pick and the Caps on a 2-0 series lead with us all day long and eat some za for your lunchtime. For what I would love, I'm going edge. I'm going Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College. I care about production. I know it seems to be something that is fleeting now, that you would draft a player who's actually good in college to go along with some measurables. I want a speed rusher. I want a guy that can get to the quarterback. I would be giddy if Ezeraku falls into their lap and they take the senior defensive end out of the ACC.
Donovan Ezeraku, defensive end, Boston College. An all-around athlete in high school competing in discus and the triple jump, Donovan Ezeraku developed into one of college football's elite pass rushers. He's extremely polished for a young player and is more than just a talented athlete. He'll make a difference early on as a pass rusher, but scouts believe he can develop into a good run defender as well, thanks to his work ethic and intelligence.
Donovan Ezeraku, 21 tackles for loss, 16 and a half sacks. As an All-American who led the conference in both of those categories last year, that's the pick I would love. Danny, the pick you would like.
For the record, I would like Ezeraku an awful lot, too. I'd be happy with that. I worried he goes a pick or two in front of Washington. This is what I would like. You'll see a theme in my picks. There's some speed going on.
Maxwell Hairston, cornerback, Kentucky. Limited to only 7 games last season due to a shoulder injury, Maxwell Hairston still made his presence felt, being named second team All-SEC. He can be a game-changing defender as he tied the Kentucky school record with 3 career pick sixes. He has great footwork, can change direction quickly, and has a keen ability in route recognition. At 183 pounds, scouts believe he'll need to put on some weight, but his natural nose for the football makes him an asset for any defense.
To me, I would like that. I'm hoping for a weapon, hoping for an edge. I just worry that the board won't shake that way. And Hairston, to me, is kind of the next best of that group. Maybe not a pure outside guy just yet, but the speed jumps off the page. The athleticism jumps off the page. I'm excited. That's somebody I can work with for a position I think they're not as good at as they think they are.
It feels to me like that's a very real possibility.
I think so, too.
The later we get into the process, and it seems like a lot of the defensive ends could go, the more it seems like corner's going to be of value there at 29, and he could be a guy high on their radar. So you might get what you like. Not what you need, not what you love, but what you like.
What you like.
Tonight. Time for what I would like. I would like a weapon. I would like Travion Henderson, the running back, out of Ohio State. I would like that pick a lot, even if it's a little bit early. That's fine. I would like a wide receiver. You mentioned Golden, who I think will be gone. What about Henderson's teammate, an 80-catch, 1,000-yard, 10-touchdown route runner who could automatically come in here at about 6'1 and 203, play and help right away?
Emeka Abuka, wide receiver, Ohio State.
Will Howard, front man in a pistol behind center Seth McLaughlin, gets the snap, fakes the handoff, rolls to his right, throws toward the goal line, caught, touchdown, is grabbing the ball and being slung out of bounds after making the grab, Emeka Abuka.
Running the 40-yard dash in 4.3 seconds, Emeka Abuka has straight-line speed that strikes fear in opposing defenses. A sure-handed pass catcher, he racked up 81 receptions and 10 touchdowns last season, helping lead the Buckeyes to a national title win. His ceiling at the next level will depend on his ability to separate from more physical corners, but Abuka is an all-around receiving talent.
Danny sleeps on Emeka Abuka. Darius sleeps on Emeka Abuka. Clary definitely sleeps on Emeka Abuka. Two 1,000-yard seasons, 1,150 and 10 touchdowns in 2022, and then 80 catches with a 10-touchdown, 1,000-yard season last year for Ohio State. I would really like that pick. Your boy wants offensive skill help. Get me some speed.
Yeah, definitely would not mind that at all. A little bit less flash, I think, for Egbuka, but just, you know, basically going to the league to be a complimentary number two receiver. Ain't nothing wrong with that at the end of the first round.
All right, so far I would love Donovan Ezeraku, edge. I would like Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver.
I would love Matthew Golden, and I would like Maxwell Hairston.
So we're feeding out of similar meal plans here. All right, let's get to the picks that we would hate Washington making if they stick at 29.
You already said one of the names that I would hate as someone that you would like. I would hate Travion Henderson. I would hate this one just as much.
Omarion Hampton, running back, North Carolina.
Every play of the last two drives has been a run to Hampton. Here's a shovel pass to Hampton, and he's free middle of the field. 25, angling to the near sideline, and for the fifth time today, Hampton's into the end zone. Touchdown, Carolina.
An explosive runner with elite burst, Omarion Hampton tallied over 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns as a junior at North Carolina. At 6 foot and 220 pounds, Hampton has the ideal size to be a three-down back. He's a violent runner, but also doubles as a reliable pass catcher and is a physical pass protector. Hampton profiles as an immediate impact playmaker out of the backfield.
What are you doing, Danny Hutier?
I think he's good. This is like the guy at the fantasy draft that when everyone else starts the positional run, you go, oh, I should probably do that, and you get terrible value. We shouldn't be taking a running back in the first round. You shouldn't do it unless you're ready to compete at the highest level and got no other holes. If you're Kansas City, go ahead and do it. If you're Philadelphia, go ahead and do it. Not that they need him, but they could. There is too much value at running back in this draft. I'm telling you, I'd be way better off taking a couple of the players that I mentioned previously at 29, be it a defensive end, be it a corner, be it a wideout, and going with a Damian Martinez from Miami, who really like Bashal Tutin, who we had on the show in the mid-rounds. I'd rather have Caleb Johnson from Iowa, who faced nothing but 9 and 10-man boxes for a group that couldn't throw, and who's getting touched behind the line of scrimmage every down and still ran for 1,600 yards. There are way too many good running backs to waste a late first-round pick on one when there are too many good pieces that you can get with some acquisitions in round 3 and round 4.
The good news for you is Omarion Hampton will be gone 15 picks before Washington.
I wanted to do Henderson, but we didn't have a sounder for him.
Hampton's going to go in the middle of the first round because he's unbelievable. Ask the Lions if they're upset that they took Jahmyr Gibbs. The answer's no. Ask the Falcons if they're bothered that they used a first round on Bijan Robinson. Obviously not. Ask the Eagles how they felt about winning the Super Bowl last year with former top 5 pick Saquon Barkley running for 2K. Absolutely not. You can find really, really good players like Omarion Hampton. 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards the last 2 years. Which of his 30 touchdown rushes in the last 2 seasons do you like the most? And he can catch the ball to the backfield. It's the thing you like.
It's the thing I like.
He is an athlete, man. I mean, I just wake up at night thinking about a time when he's my starting running back. But he's not going to be there, so it does not matter. But you're taking some crazy pills on that one. Here's something I would hate.
Shamar Stewart, defensive end, Texas A&M.
This one's 3rd and 9 for the Aggie 41. Bazelak, pressure up the middle. They got him. They got him. Shamar Stewart got him at midfield.
An outstanding athlete at 6'5" and 267 pounds, he ran a 4.5 40-yard dash with a 40-inch vertical and a 10-foot broad jump. His sack totals don't jump off the page, but he racked up 39 total pressures over 315 defensive snaps in his final season at College Station. He's also drawn comparisons physically to four-time All-Pro Myles Garrett. He'll need to refine his pass rush technique, but Stewart has tantalizing upside.
I can't believe they found a Shamar Stewart highlight, because he doesn't finish a whole lot of plays.
That's the highlight.
I mean, that's the one. So I'm leaving myself open to you telling me I'm crazy here, and I understand that. But I need you to make more football plays. When you have a three-year track record as an edge with 4.5 total sacks combined, 1.5 in all three seasons, and combined in 3 years, 12 TFLs, that's not enough. The measurables are unbelievable. The size is central casting. He looks like an action figure. I get it. The combine, ridiculous. He's a football player, right? I need you to make some football plays. And the pressure rate and some of that stuff is pretty good. There's a spot for him. Like, I'm not taking him in the late second or the third or something. But I put him here, Danny, because I don't want them reaching for an edge at 29 just to satisfy the requirement. We need one. He's there. Let's take him. I don't even think he will be there. I'll bet you somebody takes him because he's such a tantalizing athlete before that. But I don't want to take a player that didn't put up really quality college production.
This is my area of weakness when it comes to evals and players and things like that. I would rather, I use my axiom, I'd rather explain away inflated production at a lower level or something like that than try to defend why someone didn't put up stats at all. I understand he's a crazy athlete. I get the scheme watered some things down. You could do that with 5 sacks. You could do that with like 15 TFLs or something. But the fact that there just was so little in those various columns when you're counting up the stats, I can't do it. I can't.
That's what we'd love, like, and hate. Tweet us. Let us know what you would love and hate to see the Commanders do at 29 at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Next, our double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at 4 o'clock. We'll be covering the Caps, who got themselves a playoff win last night. They're up 2-0 over the Canadiens. This is The Fan. Logan Thompson and the Caps stole game 2 from the Montreal Canadiens last night in the third period. They were up 2-1. He stands on his head. They win the game. They're up 2-0, and they are on to Montreal now for a pair. If they can get both, they'll sweep, which they've never done before. It's just not in their DNA, and frankly, it's not in their dictionary. SW, what's the rest of it? How do we do it? Speaking of sweeps, the Nats are looking for one today.
A little wet paper towel?
Against the Orioles. DC sports teams are winning. All of our Caps playoff coverage on the show is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For over 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV, specializing in full-service interior trim carpentry. They handle everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact them at acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers, now's the time for a great deal on a Honda. Go visit your local Washington area Honda dealers.
So I took a plunge here, Jeeps, when I bought my new computational device. It had been 14 years since I had purchased a computer.
That's a good run.
Well, the old girl's still working. Everything works except for the speakers. It's starting to slow down a little bit and you know, not at optimal, but I can still turn on and use it. As I normally would. It was time. You know what I mean? It was slowing down. I used it every day for work, et cetera. So I got my new Mac, and I will never not buy a Mac. It is correct. Apple's correct. Everything else is wrong. But one of the things that they do, they're like, hey, man, thanks for spending a bunch of money on your computer. Here's 3 months of Apple TV. So I said, yes. And then I know that they're going to do the thing where it's 3 months of Apple TV for just for buying the big computer. That's our, you know, it's $27 in value or $30 in value, you know, as a thank you. And then we're going to start billing you. I already know what's going to happen. Then I'm going to forget about it. And in 6-7 months, I'll go on a rampage and try to figure out how to cancel stuff, but I won't have my right password, and it'll be two-factor authentication, and you need to do one of the authenticator apps, but it doesn't produce one for the actual login that I want, and it's only for Twitter, and I don't know why I need that right now, but I don't know where it's getting the code or what it's supposed to do. And then it's like, what's the first pet that you had? And I'm like, I don't know which one you guys know about. And the whole thing is annoying, and I'm going to end up spending a bunch of money. But for 3 months, I get it.
I've never really had problems canceling apps like that.
You're good at it.
No, I don't know about that.
You're better than me.
There are certainly a couple things that they purposefully make hard, and you know you can't figure it out. So it's but like with Peacock or Apple or any of that stuff, I've found it pretty simple enough, honestly. Like a couple of clicks and I'm done, and then I reload when the next season comes out. I have not had that same issue, but I totally get what you mean. Just generally, the inconvenience makes it not worth that effort. Makes it. The juice is not worth the squeeze.
Because what'll happen is the bill will be paid. I'm sure I'll set up for auto enrollment or whatever. And when I get the thank you that I paid it, I'll go, damn it, and I'll try to cancel it. I won't be able to, and you know, I'll do it all again the next month. So for example, we still haven't decabled yet, even though I've got Masson app access. There's some MLB TV that I've already flirted with and worked on. I still haven't gotten rid of cable.
What do you mean you've MLB TV you've flirted with?
Well, I mean, like, investigated that to figure out if that's an easier option for us. We'll be able to watch the Nats and every Major League Baseball
game.
Well,
you have the MLB TV app.
Yeah.
Okay. But why do you have cable?
I don't know. Because I haven't canceled it yet. Because it's hard to cancel stuff. That's my point. It's hard for me to cancel. Because one of those, like, you go to the website, it's like, what's your login? It's like, none of your business, you know? Like, I just want
to
cancel.
When you try to cancel cable over the phone, I will say, they'll do anything they can to keep you.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. They will keep you on the phone, and they'll beg you to stay. But the last time, finally, with, I think it was DirecTV, they probably just looked at my history, and they're like, wait a second. This guy pauses his DirecTV for like 6 months.
He's a serial canceller.
Every baseball offseason. Well, I don't cancel because I keep all the stuff there and I freeze it. But they let me freeze it for like 3 off seasons in a row. So I finally called them and I said, hey, I want to freeze my DirecTV again. And they're like, nah, we're not doing that. I'm like, okay, well, it's really simple. So it's up to you. But either I'm freezing it or I'm getting rid of it forever and ever and ever. And they're like, I guess that one. And I was like, okay. I said, just to be clear, you guys have always allowed me to freeze it. You've always let me do that. And that time they didn't, which is fine. And that's when I became a new member of the YouTube TV organization.
Here we go.
So we're working with YouTube TV and more apps than you can shake a stick at.
Did you research any of the other ones, or did you just YouTube was you all along?
My research was Darris had it and told me he liked it. And I had a couple of other buddies that swore by it. And the first time I ever used it, like when we were on a trip with one of those guys, the functionality was so easy.
Mm-hmm.
I have not, since I got YouTube TV, I'm not exaggerating, I have not gone down to the channels to see what's on TV at any point. There's not been a single time where, you know, you like channel surf or anything.
Uh-huh.
I've never done that. I watch games. That's it. It's pretty much Caps and Wiz,
uh-huh.
ESPN, like whatever's on. And those are all presented for me as soon as I log on. It knows me.
It knows you. Yeah.
So it just says, here's some stuff you'd want to watch. And if it's something that I've caught before or watched before, it's there.
And you're like, you're right, YouTube. You get me.
So not one time have I ever actually gone scrolling through channels.
It's the reason
which
I
tells
ask.
You how much I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could just have the Monumental app with ESPN Plus, which I already have, and maybe like one or two other things for national sports. I don't know if there's something for Turner Sports. You can get all the NBA coverage as an example. But if like I had that, I quite literally now don't need TV. As evidenced by, I have not surfed channels in a year.
The only reason I ask is because I get a lot of advertising for Hulu television. They really want me to choose Hulu television over YouTube TV.
So that's one of the only apps I do not have, and there are several shows on Hulu I want to watch. I'm pretty sure The Bear is on Hulu.
I think it is, yeah.
And I really want to watch The Bear.
It's supposed to be really good. Like, the people that love it will not stop talking about it.
But I don't have that one.
I don't have that one either.
How many can I have?
I know.
How many am I supposed to have?
That's what I'm saying. I'd cut so many. We hadn't watched Apple TV since Ted Lasso went off the air, and now I got it again. I cannot wait to pay them more money, apparently.
Ted Lasso's coming back, so you better keep it. Season 4, my guy.
But when is that going to happen? Like 3 years from now?
No, I bet it's like next summer or something. Beltway Blitz, Caps, NFL, Commanders, Hockey Playoffs, NFL Draft, Nats are hot. It's a good time for DC Sports on The Fan.